Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much tonight for the opportunity that we have to, Lord, just to learn and just sit at your feet. And God, I do pray that you would bless this time. I pray that you'd open up our hearts and our minds for what you have for us. And again, just thinking about generations ago, millennials ago, how you worked in the hearts of these men, Lord, warning their fellow man, warning their leaders, their religious people, God. And I just pray that as we read the prophets, Lord, some here and looking at what their heart and Lord, what they're seeing, and as they communicate that to their generation, that Lord, it would speak to us and maybe speak to us, truth about our generation. And God, that we would just learn from them about how great you are and how good you are. So I do pray you would bless this time and Lord, just again, speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So yeah, there was a thing. Some people want to say Habakkuk and some people want to say Habakkuk, and you can say whatever you want is what I found out. That's one thing I learned in Bible college. Didn't matter how you said his name. So, you know, but anyway, this guy, to catch up for us, remember where we've been. It's like been forever, right? Since we've done gotten back into our Thursday night groove. Remember Israel, the northern kingdom has been taken into captivity. The southern kingdom, bad king with Manasseh. Then Josiah came. And remember, Josiah found the word and reintroduced the word to the people, got all of that going, cleaned the temple, and did some phenomenal things. Yet, God spoke to him and said, it's too late. Kind of is the way I interpret it. Man, the end is coming, right? So you got to remember, we looked at Zephaniah and we looked at Nahum. We're going to look at Jeremiah, Habakkuk. All these four guys were all contemporaries. They're all speaking sort of at the same time or at least overlapping each other, speaking to the king, letting him know, man, we're in deep trouble. Now, here's the thing about Habakkuk is he can't figure out what's going on. And that's one reason I really like this book. So we're going to slow down a little bit and kind of look, instead of doing all three chapters, we're going to look at him a little bit because he's got a huge question. What's happening? And why is this happening? Kind of like a lot of us, we get questions, Lord, why are you letting this happen? I don't understand. So Josiah, I think he's speaking right at the end of Josiah's reign. And after Josiah comes Jehoahaz, and after Jehoahaz then is his brother Jehoiakim, and that's when they go into captivity. So you can catch up again by reading 1 Kings chapter 23. We kind of went through that, most of it. And at the end of 23 is when Josiah dies. We got to that part, verse 30. And then Jehoahaz, we'll kind of bounce back and forth as we're into Jeremiah. And then Jehoiakim is the one who's carried into captivity and taken away. So that's the view around Judah and what's going on around the world. Assyria has been a major, major power in the world. They're the ones that took the northern part into captivity. Now, Habakkuk is looking around and here's this whole new powerhouse coming called Babylon. And Babylon is coming and Babylon is beginning to conquer. They've kind of wiped out Egypt. They've wiped out Assyria. They're coming in. They're powerful and they're coming in. And there were, I don't know if you realize, there were three different attacks on Jerusalem and three different times where they took people into captivity. Daniel was taken early on into captivity. So he's watching all that going on. And here's his question. Where are you, God? Kind of like us today, right? Sometimes when bad things happen, people will say, why does God allow bad things to happen? And, you know, we're not always going to have an answer. And you know, that's sort of what Habakkuk is asking. Why is this happening? God, I don't understand. Don't you know? And part of it is, don't you know who we are? We're Judah. We're your kids. How come this is happening to us? And sometimes as a church, we feel that way. Why are you letting this happen to the church? We're you, you know? And so, listen, we're going to get, I think, some good answers that we would be able to pass along to our generation as we think about it. And especially as people, you know, all the time I hear people, when some catastrophic event happens, their major question is, why would God allow that? Just, I think, yesterday, day before, there was a letter to the editor of a guy who hates just about everything. He writes a lot of letters to the editor, but definitely does not like Christians. And just blasting, you know, calling God a murderer on all of the atrocities and things that have happened, Old Testament, you know, quoting those out of context, and then current events. Why do those happen if God is good? And so Habakkuk maybe will give us some answers. So verse 1 and 2, verse 1 says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. So not a lot of information there. And here's the crazy thing. We don't have a lot of background on this guy. Maybe in chapter 3 we find out he might be from a priestly family, but we don't know a lot about him. But again, I think he's talking generally to the population, or mainly, I think Habakkuk's like talking to God. So, but he has this burden. Again, the burden is more of the oracle, the judgment against the nation. And then here's this big thing, how he starts out. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. So here he is. He's kind of asking two questions, and you know, I got them framed different ways. Number one, why God do you seem so indifferent? Why God doesn't hear? Why God seems so insensitive? Why doesn't God help? You kind of hear his heart as he's crying out. He can't figure out why is this going on and you're not doing anything. And some people feel that way even in our, when we see a major catastrophic event, when we look at things like floods or tornadoes or, you know, the fires, and we see people, you know, earthquakes and people being killed, and we're going, people will say, where's God in all of this? One answer I give him is he's the same exact place he was when his son was dying on a cross. He's in complete control. Whether we want to receive it or not, he is. So it's interesting to me that we have here a man of God, a prophet of God, someone whom God chose, asking those questions, right? Here's the Habakkuk, he's going, I'm looking around, man, I don't get it. I see all of this going on, and you're not doing it. It's like, God, you're not doing anything about it. We're getting like, you know, overrun, taken, we're getting killed. And where are you? So listen, he goes a little bit further. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble for plundering and violence before me? There is strife and contention arises. So he's saying, look at everything I'm watching in front of me. And he's not just watching Babylon, but he's also watching Judah. And he says this about Judah. Listen to what he says. He says, therefore, the law is powerless. Listen, the law becomes powerless when those who are in charge are not keeping the law. When they're not enforcing the law, then what good is the law? Right? And I'm not talking about biblical law, just, you know, laws that we have even in our country. We have laws, and people, if they're not enforcing them, it becomes powerless. And that's what Habakkuk is seeing. He's looking around, and none of the leaders are doing anything, man. They're not calling people to account. They're not doing anything. And so he's like freaked out, right? He's kind of on the edge. And then he says the law is powerless. Justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. So here's what he's saying. I'm trying to figure out what's going on, God, and you're not doing anything. Do you ever feel that way? Yeah, I think if we're really honest, sometimes we do, don't we? How come you're not doing anything, God? Look at the injustice. Look at the things that are happening. And we can't quite figure out. And our question is, why, God? And why don't you do something? And I feel at those times, for myself, that's when God seems the most quiet. The book of Job, I love reading the book of Job. And, you know, Job saying why, right? Why is this happening to me? Why'd all this? And his comforters come and they give him, you know, all the great advice, right? You know, great guys, friends like that, you don't need enemies. And he's asking God why. Have you ever realized God never answers him why? Here's what you and I need to understand. You can write this in your Bible. God does not owe us an explanation. He doesn't. He's God. And we need to learn to trust him. In spite of what we see, in spite of what might be going on. Because listen, we only have a small picture. God's got the big picture, right? Have you ever, our parents sometimes, you know, as parents, and some of us, I remember growing up, my dad had a big picture of things going on. I was just concerned about what Pat wanted. Right? He's got a little bit bigger picture. He's got a, you know, looking at things. And like, you know, I would think he's mean, you know, unjust. I would think he was a horrible individual. You know, did you ever get mad at your parents? And yeah, we get that way. So listen, so here's Habakkuk asking his heavenly Father, what on earth is going on? I don't understand. And then check this out. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, look among the nations and watch. Here's what he's saying. Habakkuk, just watch. Look and watch. Observe. Look at what's really happening in front of you. Don't just look at circumstances. Look around and start putting things together. And then, I love it, and he says, and you will be utterly astounded. For I will work in your days which you will not believe though it were told to you. Here's what he's saying. I'm going to do things, and if I told you what I was doing, you wouldn't believe me. Because I'm going to do some crazy things because I know what I'm doing. And doesn't the Bible teach us that God's ways are bigger than our ways? They're higher than our ways? Who can understand Him? And listen, you know, I kind of like that. I kind of like the idea that we have a God that we can't figure out. Because if we could figure out God, that would make us God, right? Or equal to Him. I kind of like the idea that He can't. But here's what I know. When we ask God these kind of questions sincerely, when we're sincere about, as Habakkuk is, notice what God doesn't do. He doesn't explain to Habakkuk. But here's what He does. He gives him revelation. What did He do with Job? He gave Job revelation. God didn't explain to Job. Here's what God told Job. Doesn't matter what's going on. What you need is me. And you need a renewed vision of me. Sometimes you and I get to the place where our vision of God, our ideas about God need to be renewed and refreshed, and we need to be challenged. You know, I think it's sad when, as Christians, we kind of get in that place where it's status quo and we kind of keep going. I love it when God challenges us with things that are difficult for us to, not that I like to go through difficulty, but difficult for us to understand, and when we begin to grasp them and we begin to see how great He is in spite of what is happening in my life, in spite of what's going on. I remember years ago reading a book by a guy named George Verwer. I've mentioned him several times. That book really impacted my life. George Verwer was the founder of Operation Mobilization. And, you know, it's still, I think, going today. And a lot of the mercy ships came out of that. And, you know, his testimony is great. George Verwer was a guy from New Jersey, got saved. And right after he got saved, he began to pray for his town. And then got a burden for his town, and then he got a burden for, you know, the county, then he got a burden for New Jersey. And then finally he just says, God, I just want to get the whole world saved. And then God used him in amazing ways, and he wrote this book called No Turning Back. It's probably not even in print anymore. But I remember reading it, and it was different disciplines in our life. How can we keep from turning back? And the one chapter that always, like, just really spoke to my heart was the discipline of doubt. You see, doubting is okay. Sometimes people say, you can't doubt. Doubting, I think, is okay. Habakkuk right now is doubting. There's a difference between doubting and unbelief. Doubting is okay because then you're going to ask questions and you're going to find answers. Unbelief says, I don't care what you have to say, I'm not going to believe you. Doubting is, God, I don't understand and I want to understand. I want to figure it out. And then God, here's what I know, when we do that, God may never give us an explanation, may never give us a reason, but here's what He'll give us, Himself. And He'll reveal more of Himself and we'll grow. And He'll put Himself in that and let us know. And that's what He's doing to Habakkuk. Here's what He says, Habakkuk, I'm really not going to tell you what I'm doing because really it's none of your business. I got some big things going on, man, and you know what? Judah is in a mess, and I gotta straighten them out. And you wouldn't even if I told you, here's what's going to happen. They're going to go into captivity, and they're going to be in captivity for 70 years, and they're going to figure it out after that, and they're going to, then, after the 70 years, I'm going to make sure they get released. They're going to go back, and they're not going to be idolaters anymore. I'm going to get that out of their system. But if I were to tell you that, Habakkuk, you wouldn't understand it. You wouldn't understand, why do we have to go into captivity? Why don't you just fix it, right? But God knows what he's doing. So he says, you can't fix it. So here's what he says. You're not going to understand, but I'll give you a little bit of an insight. I'll just give you a glimpse into what's going to happen. So he begins to talk about Babylon in verse 6. For indeed, I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. So here's what he's saying. Oh, you think they've done some bad things? Not yet. Wait till you see what's coming. It is going to blow your minds, right? They are terrible and dreadful. Don't you love that? Now listen, this isn't Habakkuk talking about him. This is God telling Habakkuk who these people are. This is crazy, right? He goes, man, listen, they take places that aren't there. They're terrible. They're dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar and they fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. So here's an interesting thing about Babylon. Is Babylon was one of the first forces to use cavalry. The others, listen, others used chariots and stuff. Now they're kind of building a whole different army, and it's starting to freak people out because, listen, horses, men on horses can go a lot faster than men in wagons behind horses, right? Than a chariot. And they can be a much more agile. And listen, Babylon figured it out. They're starting to do it. And he says, look at how fast they come, man. They come like an eagle. Look at what they're doing. And then, listen, and they all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. And they gather captives like sand. And they scoff at kings. And princes are scorned by them. And they deride every stronghold, for they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. So here's what he's saying, man. They're just marching through nation after nation after nation. And you know what? They're going to come and get Judah. It's going to happen. He doesn't tell them that, but it's going to happen. Just look at the nations. You begin to understand. But you can't figure out what I'm doing because it's above you. And then verse 11 in the New King James is a little bit different than in other translations. In verse 11 it says, his mind changes and he transgresses. He commits offenses, ascribing this power to his God. So other translations say it this way, then they sweep like the wind, and that's where his mind changes or his wind changes. So listen, it's kind of the same thing. The wind will shift really quick, right? And the mind changes, and then it says will sweep like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own might is their God. So again, they're kind of the same thing. This guy is describing. So pretty soon, here's what happens. God is using Babylon, and then Babylon begins to take pride in themselves. You read the book of Daniel, right? Once in your life. If you haven't, you need to. Right? Nebuchadnezzar gets all that pride going on. So he says, this is what's going to happen, man. I'm going to use them. I'm going to build them up, and then they're going to think they're all that. And sometimes as Christians, you know, I see that sometimes, especially in ministry, you see God begin to use people, and you know, they see God do something, and then they start thinking they're the reason that thing happened, and they don't give God the glory, and then they start thinking they're all that, and they start getting prideful, and then God usually brings in something to wipe them out. So God says, this is what's going on. Now, here's what, so Habakkuk goes, okay, I can kind of, I see that big picture, but I still don't get it, God, because you need to understand something, God. It's kind of funny. Do you ever have those conversations trying to explain to God what he doesn't understand? Let me help you out, God, because here's what you need to understand. Those are really, really bad people. And us, I know Judah's kind of bad, but we're your kids. You can't do this to us. When we get into Jeremiah, we're going to find out, man, most of the leadership, you know, during this time is saying, God can't do this because we're Israel, we're Judah. God's not going to touch us. God can't do this to his own people. He can't do this to Jerusalem. Right? And they kind of have that attitude. So here Habakkuk's going, God, you got to figure some things out because this is still like really weird. Okay, you give me this description, you know, I ask you what's going on and you tell me pretty plainly. And then here's what he says, man, in verse 12. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? Here's what he's saying. Aren't you the one who was from beginning and has no beginning and has no end? Isn't that who? I thought that's who I was talking to. And he's going, why are you, what's going on here? And then I love it. We shall not die. Well, he's kind of right. They're not going to die. You know, we're not going to die. We're going to cease existing on planet Earth, but we're not going to die. We're not going to be separated. So I kind of like that idea. He says, we shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. Now, listen, you need to understand God has a plan. He has a divine plan that he is working. And his plan doesn't need approval by you, doesn't need approval by me, doesn't need approval by nations or countries. His plan has no boundaries, is not concerned with certain state legislatures or anything going on. His plan is his plan. And he's saying, here's my plan, and I'm just giving you a piece of it, Habakkuk. And he's going, but aren't you the rock? Aren't you these things? Yeah, I'm all of those things. And God is going to get his plan done. And you know what? The more we accept that, the healthier we are going to be emotionally and spiritually. The more we reject that and push that away, the more difficulty we're going to have getting through this life. But when we accept God for who he is and accept the fact that God is working his plan, and listen, no one's going to thwart his plan. I don't care. I don't care who raises up. I don't care what's going on. You know, I don't know about you guys. I get involved sometimes in all of the media, you know, the news and what's going on. And I start looking at it and I want to pull my hair out and I want to just like jump off a cliff. It's just like, what is going on? And then God says, I'm in control, Pat. And I'm kind of like Habakkuk. I go, doesn't look like it. You know, and then he says, but if I even told you what I was doing, you couldn't put it together. You could not connect the dots because I'm God and you're not. So then the answer is, but aren't you from everlasting? Aren't you the Holy One? Aren't you the one who's supposed to protect us? Yeah, I got you. I got you. It doesn't feel like it, God, because it feels like everything's coming against us. And so, listen, he goes on a little bit further and really challenges him. He says, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil. Here's what he's saying. I thought you couldn't look on evil, God. But yet you're allowing this kingdom to come and wipe things out. And they were brutal. Listen, it wasn't just an army marching through. There was brutality going on. There was gross things going on, especially when they took Israel and they took him captive. I don't know if you realize, man, when they were taking Israel out, they had them chained together. They had them hooked together with hooks going through their nose and you know, just kind of gross stuff. There used to be, I don't know if it's still, I've mentioned this several times, in Bisbee at the old gymnasium in Bisbee, the one up in Old Bisbee, not the one down in Warren, but the old gymnasium. If you can get in there, it used to have around the top, all the way around the top of it, it had an etching of the Babylonian captivity and people going into captivity. And somebody even restored it at one time. And I don't know if it's still in there. You know, somebody break in there and find out and tell me. So I don't know if you can get in there, but it used to be there and it was phenomenal. And you know, you look at something like that and you begin to see, listen, when they were going into captivity, it wasn't just that they were marching along. They were brutally treated. And but your eyes are pure, God. And you're looking on that evil? And it doesn't affect you? It doesn't hit you? Well, of course it does. God's God. But God is also working his plan. And, you know, don't ever forget he's perfectly just, perfectly righteous. And, you know, he can look on that and because of what he's doing and how much more he knows than we know. So he says, your eyes are of pure, or you are of pure eyes and to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours and a person more righteous than he? Listen, why do you let this go on for? Do you ever get upset when you see, you know, somebody of the world really kind of win over a Christian in kind of a debate usually, or when you see Christians slaughtered in certain countries? How come, God? Like, kind of the same question, right? They're wicked, and you're letting them slaughter your children, your people, your church. You say your church is, why is that going on? Well, because I have a plan. And my plan's working. But they're being persecuted. They're being murdered. You know, that's not the worst thing in the world. Do you understand that? We have eternal life. Leaving this life, listen, not that I'm in a hurry. That's not the worst thing. You could even ask, right? Almost 2 weeks ago, a guy walks into a church or around a church, kills all those people who are just worshiping God. That's all they were doing. Where were you? How could you watch that? How could you watch an evil person do that to good people, to righteous people? How could you do that, God? That's what he's asking. That's what he's watching. Kind of, God, I don't understand. And there again, when we don't understand, here's what we have to do. We have to go what we do understand about God. There are things I don't know about God, but there's things I do know about God. And when I can't figure out the I don't know or the what ifs, I got to go with what I do know. And here's what I do know, and I said it earlier. God is perfect. God is holy. God is just. God is love. God is righteous. You go on, and you get this picture of God, and you go, okay, listen, I can trust you. I don't get that. I don't understand that. I can't quite figure that out, why something like that would happen. But you know what? You've just given me more revelation of who you are. And you've just become bigger than that. So again, he's asking those questions. How come this happens? And how come you let that happen? And then he asks this. Why do you make men like fish of the sea and like creepy things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with a hook. Here's what he's going. They're kind of like innocent, right? And they're coming in and... And they're, you know, sticking hooks through their jaws and hooks through their nose, and they're dragging them away. And it says they catch them in their net and they gather them in their dragnet. Therefore they rejoice and they're glad as they begin to brutalize these people. They're happy. And God, where are you? Babylon is in trouble. Babylon's, you know, overwhelming us. This is going on. Therefore, now here's the thing. We watch them, they sacrifice to their net, and they burn incense to their dragnet, because by them their snare is sumptuous and their food plentiful. Here's what Babylon's doing. God is using them. God raised them up and gave them the power. They're doing that. And then, listen, obviously they're not going to turn to God because they're heathens. So they begin to worship like we do in America. We begin to worship what we've accomplished, what we've done. And we look at it, and you know, I think it's kind of sad in our nation. We begin to worship, you know, things that we shouldn't be worshiping, people that we shouldn't be worshiping, and we're lifting them up and we're exalting them. And that's what Habakkuk is looking at. And he goes, man, I see them doing that. And God, you know, we might do a little bit of idolatry, but we're not like that. You hear his heart? This guy's like freaking out. He's not so much concerned with, here's what we're doing wrong. He's concerned with, God, how come all this is going on? And we might be bad, but we're not as bad as them. Do you ever say that? Do you ever tell somebody, I might be bad, but man, they're really bad. Did your parents ever tell you not to hang out with certain people because they were really bad? Parents used to say that about me, so I was on the other side of that conversation. Don't hang out with Pat. Listen, and he's looking at that, and he's going, God, I don't get it. I don't understand. And I think all of us, if we're really honest, we see certain things, we think, that's bad. I might be bad, but that's badder. And we kind of make ourselves feel a little okay. It's not okay. Judah had been given light. God had revealed himself to them. And God had revealed himself to them through his law. And he had laid it out. And they're choosing to go against light. Babylon didn't have light. They're just sinning because they're sinners. And you know, that disturbs me. And I watch sometimes the church and look at the church, and people get all freaked out about something the world is doing. And I'm thinking, seriously? You're all freaked out about that? Yeah, why would they do that? Because they're sinners, that's why. What do you expect them to do? Well, they should act right. Why? Why should they do that? Listen, when as the church, we don't even honor God all the time, right? I'm including all of us. We're all in this. I know some of you think, not me, bro. But listen, the world is going to do what the world does. There's a few things I read today. I'm thinking, seriously, people are like all up in arms. And I'm thinking, why don't you get over yourself and get off of your self-righteous attitude, and why don't you try and minister to those people and give them, you have light, they don't. Bring them some light. And I kind of think this way about Habakkuk. Now, if I were God, I would be telling Habakkuk, you know what, dude, get off your horse. Not that he's on a real horse, but he's on a high horse, right? Climb down off that thing and start ministering to those Babylonians because you're going to be spending a lot of time with them, so you might as well get to know them. They're coming. He goes, but I don't understand. They worship their nets and they do those things. Well, what do you worship, Habakkuk? Oh, I'm righteous. No, you're not. No, you're not. Verse 17, shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? God, how are you going to let these guys keep going? I don't get it. I don't understand it. And God's saying, you don't have to. It's not for you to understand. It's just for you to trust. How come this happened to me, Job says. God says, doesn't matter. It happened. Here's what you need to know. You don't need to know anything, but you need to know me. And you need to understand me. So the same thing. Now, I want to go just into the first verse of chapter 2 because I love this. So he lays that out, and then here's what he says. I will stand my watch and set myself on a rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, and I will answer when I'm corrected. So here's the whole thing. All these questions, he kind of went through everything, and I think that first verse belongs up into chapter 1, my opinion. You know, and some of you are going, that's horrible. You can't say that. Chapters and verses are not scripture. They're by men. So listen, I think it shows, because here's what, he does all this and he says, God, this isn't right. You're looking at this stuff or you shouldn't be looking at this stuff. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get in a good vantage point. I'm going to watch. And when you answer me, then I will accept your correction. I kind of like that, don't you? You see, because that shows someone who's doubting. I don't understand, I can't figure it out, but when you correct me, I'm going to respond. And I think a lot of us, we don't want to be corrected. We don't like it when I don't think anybody likes it when they're corrected. And it's really bad if you correct like publicly and do things publicly and humiliate people. That's a whole different thing. But hey, when God gets us aside, kind of gives us a whooping, we need to say, you know what, I probably deserve that. And then listen, then you can serve him. So here's this guy living in a time where he saw kind of, in for all intents and purposes, a pretty good revival going on through Josiah. And saw the whole country beginning to turn and saw this king take everything that was so messed up and begin to turn it. And then just as it was turning, man, it's like this, and it's right there. And then he dies in a battle. What were you doing out in a battle? But he dies in a battle. And then his one flunky son only lasts 3 months. And then his other flunky son, you know, sells himself out to Egypt. I did read that part. Sells himself out to Egypt and begins to sell the country to Egypt, which doesn't do any good because Babylon's going to wipe out Egypt. And they're all trying to keep from this Babylonian thing. And so now you have this guy Habakkuk, and he's looking around. He's going, how did we get here? We were doing so good. We finally got a good king, right? We had a good king. We had Hezekiah, the good king. Yeah? You guys remember Hezekiah? And then we got Manasseh, his son. He was kind of really bad. He was actually really, really bad till right before he died. And some people live that way, right? They kind of really, really bad. And it cracks me up. Some people get mad. Some people get really mad when people get saved at the end of their life. Well, that's not fair. What do you mean it's not? Well, you should be rejoicing, right? You should be happy. You know, and hey, it's said traditionally that the rabbis would ask God to close the windows of heaven if he's ever going to listen to Manasseh. But Manasseh got saved, right? Manasseh towards the end kind of turned. And then Josiah comes along. He really changes everything. And then comes the problems. And sometimes we think, man, look at how everything's kind of turning for good. That doesn't mean it's going to be good. And the biggest problem of Judah was they were ignoring the light they had. Not just spiritual light, but also light to live by, the law. You know, the law is intended not to hurt people, but to keep people safe. And the same when we talk about the law of the nation, it's not intended to entrap people, it's intended to keep people safe. And when we start ignoring the law, and especially the people who are in charge of the law, we're going to be in serious trouble. I personally think we're there. And I think we're going to get hooks in our nose and hooks in our jaw, and we're going to go. And some of you are going, are you saying America is doomed? No, but I think we're in trouble. And I think it's up to us, the church, to be the light, not the judges, the light. Let's quit judging that world out there. They don't have the light. Let's give them the light. Let's stand up and pray. Father, as we think about this time with this prophet and Lord, his questions and God, just his heart, where he's looking at things and he can't quite figure them out, and Lord, he can't quite understand what's exactly going on. And Lord, I just like the idea that he's just honest with you. And you have him to stop and Lord, you record it for us. You give us insight into this one person kind of having a meltdown in front of you because of what he sees and what's going on. And God, we're going to watch you reveal yourself to him. Not an explanation, but a revelation. And I believe as men and women of God, those of us who are standing up tonight, who claim to know you and claim to walk with you, God, I pray that when we can't understand it, we would accept your revelation of who you are. When we don't have answers, we would go with the things we do know about you. And we would not let the enemy throw those darts in to sidetrack us and to get us going in a wrong direction. And so, God, I pray for any in here tonight who are doubting. We're in that place that we sometimes even maybe get angry when we look at what happens and Lord, we don't understand. I pray you would give us just, even if it's a mustard seed of faith, that ability to trust you. And God, to trust who you are and your character. And I pray that when we're in that place, we would sit down and be really honest with you. And let you know this is exactly where we're at. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, as we get ready to close.